45 days. 45 days after the shooting death of Trayvon Martin in Sanford, Florida, Florida State Special Prosecutor Angela Corey made an announcement yesterday afternoon to the world.
Today, we filed an information charging George Zimmerman with murder in the second degree. A capias has been issued for his arrest. With the filing of that information and the issuance of a capias, he will have a right to appear in front of a magistrate in Seminole County within 24 hours of his arrest, and thus formal prosecution will begin.
But right away, there were questions for the prosecution.
Why did it take so long to come to this decision?
Well, it didn't take long. We have many complicated homicides that are thoroughly investigated. Remember, the prosecutor's burden under our Constitution is proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
And there was relief from the family of Trayvon Martin. Here's Martin's mom, Sabrina Fulton.
We simply wanted an arrest. We wanted nothing more, nothing less. We just wanted an arrest. And we got it. And I say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Tearful mother there of Trayvon Martin. Adam Kiloha-Causey, a reporter with the Florida Times Union, joins us today from Jacksonville. Adam, take us through the events that unfolded so rapidly yesterday and just how closely were they watched by the people of your state?
Hi, John. Well, we had been waiting for weeks. Angela Corey's office had stopped talking around March 29th, but media outlets were notified late Tuesday night that she would be releasing new information at some point in the next 3 days. So we showed up, had to go through security, and we waited, and she told us about the second degree murder charge. There wasn't a whole lot of action outside the building. It was mostly journalists from TV and newspaper outlets.
Did Corey seem confident to you? Did it seem like she had a break in the case, or did she seem embattled by the phalanx of reporters there?
Well, she seemed confident, but she didn't release a whole lot of details. There were dozens and dozens of questions asked, but for the most part, she wouldn't offer much. You know, a lot of people wanted to know, to hear more about why she didn't think Florida stand your ground law would hold up in this case, and that was something that she wouldn't budge on at all.
Really?
She wouldn't give any more details.
That's Adam Kiloha-Causey, a reporter with the Florida Times Union in Jacksonville. Also with us is Dale Carson, a lawyer and retired legal instructor for the FBI, former police officer. He joins us from Jacksonville as well. Dale, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
So can you, as Adam says, limited details from the Corey news conference yesterday. What do you think this case is going to be based on, and does the delay figure as a positive for the defense?
I don't think the delay figures as a positive for the defense, but what I think basically is going on here is the investigation ordinarily would have run in due course, and probably Zimmerman would have been arrested. The fact that he wasn't originally arrested really has no bearing now. They conducted the necessary investigation. Ms. Corey believes that they can prosecute successfully beyond a reasonable doubt this particular case. But this is just an arrest. And there was an arrest warrant authorized by a judge, so there's certainly probable cause to put him in jail, to bring him before the magistrate that's going to happen tomorrow. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win a prosecution. What it does mean, however, is that Zimmerman is now facing 25 to life. It's a minimum mandatory case. That tells me as a lawyer that we're going to trial. We're going to see a trial unless he's willing to accept 25 years in custody at this juncture, and I don't believe that's true.
What were the other prosecutorial options for charges for George Zimmerman, given the circumstances? He did leave a car. He seems to have affirmatively moved towards Trayvon, who eventually became the victim.
Well, he could have had an aggravated assault charge, of course, that turned into murder. He could have been charged ultimately with manslaughter. Manslaughter is a lesser charge than second-degree murder. But I think this is the appropriate charge. Anytime you engage in activity that's subject to great bodily harm to another human being, that is, and results in their death, that is second-degree murder, quite clearly. I still believe that the Stand Your Ground law, a different aspect of that, is going to have a bearing here. Clearly, Zimmerman's going to have to testify at trial in order to support his position because, as we know, he's the only person who remains alive from that incident.
So that's very interesting. So if Stand Your Ground is going to be any kind of an issue for the defense, Zimmerman has to take the stand. Otherwise, it's just a completely moot point.
That's exactly right. And there's another nuance to it. If you begin the altercation, which in this circumstance Zimmerman most probably did, then there's an additional part to the Stand Your Ground law. And in that circumstance, you have to retreat. If you bring the fight, you can't then be losing and then kill someone. What happens is there's another standard, and this is in their standard Florida jury instructions, that you have to lose ground. You have to back up, try to get away, and if you fail to do that, then you cannot activate the justified use of force.
All right, so the defense has a pretty important burden of fact-finding here. They have to show that there was a retreat. They also have to show in some way that George Zimmerman reasonably believed he was in danger to justify any of his behaviors.
Well, that's true, but in fact, the burden's on the state. They have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he didn't, essentially. Although Zimmerman has to present the evidence because, as I say, he's the only one present.
But because of this Stand Your Ground law, there is a slight double burden here. It's different from other criminal cases, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. No question about that. The defense has to put on credible evidence that in fact happened. What was different in the beginning of this case, there was not sufficient time really to make a determination as to whether or not Zimmerman should have been arrested, I should say, because the medical examiner's report wasn't present. The things that investigators routinely rely on to make these kinds of determinations simply wasn't present. For example, if Trevon has bruises on the back of his lip structure, then you know he's been hit in the face. Well, you can't know that at the night that Zimmerman was initially released.
Right. Well, let's back off and talk about that. Any chance that this trial will become a trial of the police themselves?
I don't believe so. I think probably now we have the factual basis to proceed with the trial that involves, did Zimmerman in fact have a right to use force in that circumstance? And I think certainly the state of Florida believes now that he did not.
And they certainly do. And he will be in court later today, and the question of a bond will definitely come up. Dale Carson, a lawyer, retired legal instructor for the FBI, former police officer, joined us from Jacksonville. Dale, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
And we also spoke with Adam Kaloha-Causey, a reporter with the Florida Times-Union, who joined us also from Jacksonville. Thanks to you both.
Thanks, Tom.